What do you think when I say American exceptionalism? Do you feel pride, opportunity, and patriotism? Well, not everyone does. As my next guest examines with his new best-selling book, there are those in government, education, and elsewhere who seek to water down, weaken the facts, and roll about America. Why, you might ask? Because it's one of their ways to steer America to the future and position that they desire for her. Here to talk about all this is the author of America, Imagine a World Without Her, which has also been developed into a film, Dinesh D'Souza. Good morning, Dinesh.
Hello, good to be on the show.
And let me give you two websites, DineshD'Souza.com and AmericaTheMovie.com, and learn more about what we are speaking about here this morning with, well, you're talking about how the facts, the foundation, the reality of what really American heritage is all about and its development. What's the competing narrative that's been developed by liberals?
Well, the competing narrative is, I call it America the inexcusable, that America has been a force for evil in the world, that from the very beginning, which is Columbus's arrival in America, there's been a stealing of land from the Indians and the stealing of labor from the African Americans, and then a stealing of half of Mexico in the Mexican War. And then, of course, we hear from Obama that capitalism, the free market, is a form of theft. So all of this is an ongoing effort to shame America, shame Americans, and make the wealth of America seem like ill-gotten gains. So that then justifies the government stepping in and taking our wealth because, of course, the premise is it's not really ours.
Which is why instead of all these social programs known by their names, such as welfare or food stamps, seems like they're branded as strictly and as defiantly as possible as entitlements, because when you look at the root of that word entitle, it makes the recipients feel that, oh, I deserve this.
Right. The basic idea there is the government's just returning stolen goods. They're not taking your stuff. They're just taking the stuff that doesn't really belong to you, that you are in possession of. Now, this argument that the wealth of America is based on theft, I think it needs to be confronted head-on and rebutted head-on. And that's what I do in this book. The book is just called America, Imagine a World Without Her. And the movie that goes with the book is coming out July 2nd nationwide. The book is out now. The movie is coming out soon.
And you write about all through the book, and as you just mentioned here, about the importance and the value of a free market society. And, you know, really there's no better example of that than what we just saw in Virginia 7, the primary election, where House Majority Leader Eric Cantor fell to someone who was a strong free market proponent in Dave Brett.
That's exactly true. You know, in some ways, the battle, though, is much bigger, because I think sometimes while the Republicans are focused on retaking the Senate and on the presidential election, the left has been making a long march through the culture. The left has been taking over elementary and secondary education, academia, Hollywood, media. And so they're able to shift the goalposts of the culture. And one reason I'm in the business now making movies is I want to contest that territory. There's a much larger battlefield than just the political one.
And you look at a wider scope, too, as you state, the world needs America. And when you look at just in general, overall worldwide radical terrorism, you look at the more recent events regarding Iraq, you look at the actions of Vladimir Putin in Russia. Maybe even a better example, given the current administration's treatment, how Israel needs to stand and how this administration is trying to support everyone around Israel instead.
Yeah, it's not that the Obama people are bunglers or fools. They're doing what they want to do. They want to shrink the influence of America. They kind of want, in foreign policy, they'd like us to be another Canada, which means we could talk and talk, but whatever we say wouldn't really matter in the world. And that's very new, because since World War II, nothing really important could happen in the Middle East or in Asia without America at least having an important say-so, if not controlling the outcome. Obama's trying to make us a normal country, which is another way of saying an irrelevant country.
Or in a way, he's trying to inflict self-containment about America, which is what you write about.
Right. We've been trying to self-contain the Soviet Union in the 20th century, and now our president is trying to contain us.
Talking with Dinesh D'Souza, his new best-selling book, America, Imagine a World Without Her, soon to be a film. You can see more and more about Dinesh's work at DineshD'Souza.com and the new film, AmericaTheMovie.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, ideas are fine to have, whether or not you want to agree, disagree, or debate, and argue them. It's the implementation of those ideas. And give a, what's one of the more effective procedures or ways that the progressives and the current administration are implementing what you think is the most dangerous idea?
I think part of a new turn in politics is the fact that they are using the instruments of the state to go after their political opponents. Now, Clinton didn't do that. Jimmy Carter didn't do that. That's a new low with Obama. And what I mean here is things like using the IRS to audit or harass groups that oppose the Obama administration, or using the collection of data by so many different federal agencies to make files and dossiers on every American so that everybody's really vulnerable to what they're trying to do.
We've also seen cases with the media. James Roseman from Fox News, maybe one of the more notable, who had his phone tapped. And not to say that I'm on a national scale or anything, but I've got a function on my website that lets me know who visits the servers and everything. And there's been more than one time that the FBI has looked at my website and checked out what I was doing and probably, you know, listened to the podcast and everything. So, you know, for the citizens sitting out here listening right now who thinks that they're immune or not worthy of the attention or wouldn't have some of the things they see on the news inflicted upon them, they might just be very wrong.
Yes, and the idea here is not, some people say, well, you know, Obama must be so upset that the American people know that the government is spying on them. No, no, no. The reason they're not upset is they want people to know because they want to scare people. They actually want to have a chilling effect in which people go, gee, I better be careful showing up at that rally. They could be taking my picture. I should be careful calling this guy. They could be downloading my contact list. So we're moving toward, I think, something quite troubling. I mean, the Soviet Union liked to have this kind of information on its citizens, but it did not have the technology to do it. The technology is now available, and the question is how it is going to be used by our government.
I always think back to when Obama just flat out said to anyone who succeeded, anyone who's achieved, or anyone who has the entrepreneurial spirit that you didn't do it alone. You had others help you.
Right. The sole you didn't build that business, which is Obama and, of course, also Senator Elizabeth Warren. What they're really trying to say is that government or society collectively creates wealth. That's why they say things like, you know, Steve Jobs, you didn't build the iPhone. That's because you had a public school teacher that taught you math and you used the public roads and you're protected by the fire services. And on the face of it, all of this is complete nonsense because obviously everybody uses the public roads. Everybody's protected by the fire services. So why does Steve Jobs or any other entrepreneur incur additional obligations by virtue of using shared services? They don't. But what Obama and Senator Warren are trying to do is detach effort from reward to make it look like wealth is somehow magically created by society, and then greedy entrepreneurs come in and steal it. It's all a big pretext for a government shakedown of the American people in the name of returning these stolen goods.
I've yet to hear anyone give thanks to their 405 freeway in Los Angeles or the Massachusetts Turnpike for their success.
And if I went to my daughter and said, you know, young lady, you don't deserve your good SAT scores for getting into college because you took the public roads to get there, she would think I was ill.
How much of a danger has the welfare state become? Because there was an article not too long ago, and as you point out with the various tentacles of it, where if someone in New York City applied for and was accepted by every possible welfare program that was made available to them, they would be earning the equivalent of $21 per hour on the government dime. I mean, when you lay
when you look at all these programs, you can almost look at America as a bandwagon in which you've got 20 guys sitting in the bandwagon and the other 80 guys are trying to pull the bandwagon. Now, it's all right. I mean, we have a society in which we try to take care of people who can't look after themselves. But what I find scandalous is that what Obama should be doing is going to the people pulling the bandwagon and saying, listen, guys, I really appreciate you. It's because of you that others can sit in the bandwagon while you're doing all the pulling. So thank you for your efforts, and we're so grateful to you as a nation. Instead, Obama tells those people who are pulling the bandwagon, you are the most greedy, selfish, materialistic people I've ever seen. And then he goes to the people in the bandwagon and he tells them, you are the most morally wonderful people in America. So naturally, some of the people who are pulling the bandwagon get the idea, well, gee, maybe I should go sit in the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So we've just got a perverse approach here to productivity, innovation, and wealth, we need to have a pie in order to be able to distribute it.
Always thinking, again, Dinesh writes about this in America, Imagine a World Without Her, as we wrap up here, that if we can have a post-Jimmy Carter recovery, as no matter how dark things feel right now, I still like to think there's a post-Obama recovery out there somewhere.
Yeah, there's no question that we're living in a strange moment of American politics. Even the media is not behaving normally. They cover for Obama. I call it a courtier press. They're a little bit like the courtiers in the French court, where instead of providing any criticism, all they do is prance around and you know, do bootlicking and flattery and so on. They so desperately want this African-American president to succeed that they will suppress bad news and inflate news that's favorable to him. So the American people are not getting full information. Look, we can survive Obama, but we don't want the baton to go to another like-minded Obama who will continue this remaking of America, because at a certain point it becomes hard to come back.
Book is America, Imagine a World Without Her, and coming up in July, a motion picture. You can learn more about Dinesh's work at DineshDeSouza.com. And for the film, AmericaTheMovie.com. Dinesh, thanks so much for being here this morning.
My pleasure.